Let's get into the Word a minute. 2 Timothy chapter 2, start with verse 1. I want to show you some things here in the Word today, what Paul told Timothy. He said, Timothy, my dear son, be strong with the special favor God gives you in Christ Jesus. Now, that's not just to Timothy. That's to each one of us as a believer. We all have this power available to us. Doesn't it just humble you to think how great and awesome He is that He'll use people like you and me to get people healed? You have heard me teach many things that have been confirmed by many reliable witnesses. Yesterday, of course, I was fasting and praying, and Dave walked into my office, and he said, Thurman, there is some people here that thought there was a healing school today, and they come to a healing school. And he says, I told them the healing school is not for a couple more weeks. It's the second Saturday of every month. He said, would you like to talk with them? I said, of course. Let me go at least talk with them. Well, there was a family, five people, a husband, a wife, two daughters, and a son-in-law, and all of them were sick. So I told them, I said, y'all come in. Then the older mother, she said, well, I can't stand up. I'm hurting so bad. I have diabetes. I said, well, come on. And I brought them in here right here and set them all down on this front row, all five of them. And I got down on my hands and knees in front of them, and I taught a healing school until 5 o'clock yesterday afternoon to five people. But I told them, I said, this is the way I started out. When God called me first, He used to call me, and I was a deacon at a Baptist church over in Louisville. And I would look there, and there would be somebody, a man or his wife or his children or something, be on the prayer list, pray for me or pray for my son or my daughter. They have this or this or this. Well, I'd let the Holy Spirit lead me, and I'd pick one of those, and then I would go to that home, and I would sit down with those people, and I would spend 2 to 5 hours with that family showing them what caused them to be sick or caused their children to be sick. And this was not something they could get in church. It was not taught in church, but God had revealed these things to me. So I would go over there and I would pray for these people. And then after I would get them to repent of sin, I would find their sin. And sometimes it would take me a long time to find their sin. And then after I get them to repent of that sin, then I would begin to build their faith with the promises of God. And as I built their faith with the promises of God, then I would pray for those people. And I'm telling you, I started out, and I did that probably for 10 years at least. When I first started out, I might take one or two a month, you know, and then it began to grow, and those people would get healed. When they get healed, guess what they do? They tell their friends. And so I started getting phone calls. And so then I would go to these people's home, and some of these people wasn't even from the Baptist church. You know, they were just Christians, or sometimes it wasn't Christians at all. You know, but I don't care who you are, Christian or non-Christian, if you get sick, do you want to get well? Of course, people want to get well. So these people would start telling other people. And so first thing you know, I'm not going twice a month, three times a month, four times a month. I'm going two times a week, three times a week, four times a week, five times a week, six times a week. I'm going every night somewhere to somebody. That's when I told the Lord, I said, Lord, there's not enough of me. I said, there's no way I can continue to do this and teach all the people you're sending to me. I said, Lord, what should I do? And just as clear as a bell, He said, make tapes. Make tapes. So I sat down in my living room. I went out and bought me a little $150 recorder, a little dinky microphone. And I would sit down in my upstairs bedroom and I would take the Word of God and I would teach a few of these things, and I would put it on pause, and I'd get me another little string of stuff, and I'd push record again, and I made my first 90-minute tape. Then I made a second one, and of course, it wasn't long till I made the one on the curses. So I always give them away. One day, I was over in Louisville. There was a doctor over there. I didn't know who he was. I just happened to be in that part of town, and as I started to walk across the street, he said, Thurman Scrivener. I said, yes, sir. I went over, and he said, I'm Dr. So-and-so. I said, oh, okay. I said, you're a medical doctor? He said, yes. He said, somebody said that they come to you after I had diagnosed them with something and found that they were under some kind of a curse, and after they repented and broke the curse, you prayed for them and they got healed when I couldn't heal them. He said, do you have any of those tapes with you? I said, I sure do. I said, I have some of them over in my seat of my pickup. I had only made about five different tapes at that time. That's all I had about five different 90-minute tapes. Actually, the curse is it took me two 90-minute tapes to make those. And of course, my duplication equipment was extremely fast. It took 90 minutes to make the tape, and it took 45 minutes to duplicate the tape. But that's the way I started out. Now then, of course, man, I mean, we can burn them in seconds. Wow. I'd hate to think I had to make 10,000 a week like I did it back in those days, but that's the only way I could do it. That's all I had. And so I went over and got the two tapes, took them over and handed them to him. And he said, "How much are they?" I said, "Oh, they're free. I don't charge anything." I had never, as far as I know, never received a penny at this point from anything. I'd always just give them away. I felt honored that somebody would take something that I made. How could I possibly charge somebody for something, especially it's God's Word? And so I just said, "No, they're free. I don't charge for them." And he just reached in his pocket, like this, and pulled out a bill, and he said, "Here, take this," and folded my hand back up, and I said, "Okay, thank you." I didn't even look at it. I got over in my pickup, went to open the door, and opened my hand, it was $100 bill. I said, "Wow, thank you, Lord, that'll make a lot of tapes, you know." But that's the way God has done it. Since then, He has continued to send us money from everywhere to pay for all these teachings that we send out. You cannot outdo God. So when I send these teachings out, when people get prayed for, like this precious young lady right here, and she got rid of her high blood pressure and her diabetes, she's a happy girl today. You know that? And that's the way God has blessed me. And as I have went and blessed them and done what God told me to do, He has blessed me with the finances to pay for all these things we do. And so anyway, He says here, "You have heard me teach many things that have been confirmed by many reliable witnesses." The people that was here yesterday, they were all Southern Baptists. They're saying, "We go to church all the time. How come we never hear this in church?" I said, "Well, I don't know." But I said, "Is it in your Bible?" "Absolutely. It's in my Bible." I said, "Well, I don't know why you don't hear it." But I said, "I didn't hear it either." But Paul's telling us here, he's taught many things that's been confirmed by many reliable witnesses. I told them, I said, "I have many reliable witnesses." I said, "Back there on this counter on the back table, I have testimonies of miraculous healings of many different people. And those people are all still alive and well today, all of them. So you can check them out if you want to see if these miracles really happened." And they did. They really happened. So just like Paul says, he said, "Now teach these great truths to trustworthy people." What are we supposed to do with these truths when we learn them? Hide them in your pocket? No, you're to teach them to somebody that's trustworthy. You start talking to somebody about Jesus and say, "I got healed. I went out to the Living Savior Ministries, and that man taught the Word of God like I've never heard it in my life, but I got healed out there." They say, "I don't believe that junk." Well, it ain't going to do no good to try to teach them, is it? Then if they get excited and say, "Wow, you got healed over there. Tell me how it happened." Well, now then, let me tell you how it happened. If you got enough of it so far, so many people hear a little morsel here and a little morsel there, and they think they've got it. You got to really get in there with God. He said, "Now teach these great truths to trustworthy people who are able to pass them on to others." Verse 3 and 4. "Endure suffering along with me." Uh-oh. He could have thrown something else in there, couldn't he, Betty? I mean, do we enjoy suffering? No, none of us enjoy suffering. But Paul obviously had to endure suffering, so he says, "You're going to have to endure it too. So endure suffering with me." There will be people that will do terrible things to you. You can't believe that you do something good for them, and then they do something bad to you. But believe me, I've had that happen in my life. I have prayed for people, and some of them for their children, that have been miraculously healed. And I've had people tell me, "Thurman, it was not your prayers that healed that child." Well, I'm going to tell you what. I can think of two or three different children right now. The people that were there were not praying in faith. I was listening to them beg and plead, "Oh God, if it be your will you heal this child?" He don't move with those kind of prayers. He moves with the prayers of faith. In fact, one person, their child was on their deathbed when I prayed for the child, and they were healed. They told me, "We don't want to hear from you no more." I said, "Okay." And so I've never bothered them again. Never. But I will have to say, I will tell you this. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, if I hadn't prayed for that little child that day, that child would have died. And I knew I was praying in faith. But anyway, I said, "Okay." That kind of makes you feel sad. but endure suffering along with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. And as Christ's soldiers, do not let themselves get tied up in the affairs of this life, for then you cannot satisfy the one who has enlisted you in his army. Did we look at ourselves as soldiers? You know, soldiers, I was in Vietnam, and it wasn't no fun over there. But I think about the boys that are in Iraq today. It ain't no fun over there either. You know, you hear all the time about another 8 or 10 or something that got killed. They were all alive and well men, and somebody drove into their truck with a bomb in their truck, and it blew the thing up, and 10 or 12 or whatever it was of our American soldiers lost their lives. Well, that happens pretty regular, but it happened in Vietnam when I was over there too. There's one thing we can do that we're not doing enough, but we're doing it right now. We're praying and fasting. We can get the King to move on the hearts of different men so we don't have to have bloodshed in America. But that's why we're having the problem we're having now, because the church is not praying like she should be praying. I mean, I know Christians that don't pray all week long. I know Christians that ain't never been on a fast in their entire life. I was one of those. I mean, you know, being a Baptist, we knew what feasting was, but we didn't know what fasting was. I mean, we feasted. Man, we come out of there with our plate heaped up, do we not? We are soldiers, and we're in a battle, and we're enlisted in the Lord's army. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, some people will tell you now everything's going to be great. They're lying to you. It ain't going to be great. You have just joined the war. You're going to encounter the enemy, I can assure you. You're going to have to learn how to overcome the enemy. God is not going to let you get through this thing with no trials and tests. But he wants you to know how powerful and how awesome he is. There's an awesome scripture in James chapter 4, verse 7. What is the first word there? What does it mean to submit? Obey. In other words, submit or obey the Lord, right? And then what can we do? After we have submitted to God and obey him completely, what does it say we can do? Oh, then we can resist the devil or the enemy and he'll flee from us. Now then, if you want to be a good soldier, you're going to have to be the soldier that's submitted totally to your commander in chief. Then he will do great things for you. He will use you mightily for his glory.
You've been listening to Thurman Scrivener of the Living Savior Ministries. We're going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like today's broadcast in its entirety, entitled Endure Whatever It Takes, or you would like any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. You can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.